advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
Not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
With me, Todd. You say funny things.
Welcome once again to the Sofa King podcast.
Yo, yo.
I just started a new compulsion, maybe.
What?
I cheers the bottle. I can stop, though. I can stop right now.
Then stop right now.
I don't have to do it every time.
What if you're alone and you want to cheers?
I felt like I wanted to cheers Dave, but he wasn't drinking yet, and you weren't drinking at all. Mm. And so I cheers the bottle.
I've been banned.
But since I publicly admitted it, I'm just not going to cheers the bottle next time.
I drank yesterday.
So. You made it for today?
Yeah. You know. I had to deal with the banning, but it's okay. I'll be all right.
You're not banned.
You're not banned.
Mm-hmm. You're in the band.
Yeah, you gotta say that, whatever. I'm just saying, what if you're alone and you need to cheers something?
You gotta cheers the bottle. Speaking of cheers,
yeah,
though,
you do cheers the bottle.
We are drinking out of some glasses from a fan. A fan from Canada.
Yes.
Sent us all the way from Canada some glasses that he custom made for us. And coincidentally, I think it's the same as that glass. It's super close. Like, it's almost matching our other glass that was existing. But he, glass etched our logos on the glass and then skulls on the back of every other glass. Skulls aren't really my thing, but these are kind of like...
He does.
Comic-y cartoon.
He draws them. Like, yeah, they're ones that he drew. Yeah, so
they're very sort of stylistic.
They're made out of love.
Like skulls.
I'm going to post a picture, but it's kind of hard to get it, like, to do it justice.
It is. No, I want to post a picture as well, but it's hard because you take the picture and the logo's on one side and the skull's on the other, so they kind of bleed. It's hard to get a good picture, but we will do our best.
But you got to think more pictures. Like David James. He's going to be here forever. Look at that. Like, now we're drinking out of his glasses.
That's right.
I washed them, David. You didn't get us, whatever you think you did.
Go check out his Instagram too, because he's got tons of really cool drawings of the skulls that are on there.
But if your balls were in there, I washed it.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter.
Right. And I'm not drinking out of it. So.
Yeah. So I am, though, but I washed it before the balls were in there.
And if there's anthrax in one of them,
washed.
Gone.
Done.
Gone.
Whiskey kills
scrubbed.
It.
Scrubbed.
Yeah. No such thing as dirty whiskey.
Nope.
And speaking of whiskey, what whiskey are we drinking, Dave?
We have Elijah Craig Small Batch Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey that was sent to us along with some other strange gifts. a drawing of, I'm going to say a Chinese lion, like a stylized Chinese lion with a pug face that was sent.
I think it has a pug body too with lion feet.
Okay, maybe. Very strange drawing. We'll post it. It'll be on Instagram. Yeah.
And I want everybody to know, I too am a pug lover. I have a pug. He is black. He's a black pug. I'm not racist.
Right.
So I just want to put that out there.
And I mean, we all use the hashtag Black Pug Lives Matter. So,
yes.
I mean, it's all. It's all part of it.
I wonder if there's some weird sect of people. Like, the internet is a crazy thing. I bet there are like racist dog people that don't like black dogs.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure there are.
Like, there's some man, I don't even like black dogs, man.
But so Mike Sarr sent the Elijah Craig whiskey, the pug lion drawing thing. A box of generic, I'm guessing.
It's from 99 cent only because I've seen it there.
99 cent only warm touch warming gel.
It may not be sexual. Yeah.
I have to say, the image on it, there's a drawing of a hand touching a glowing light, and it looks very evocative of like the famous painting of like God reaching down with his finger. So God is reaching down with warming touch, and it says intimacy is in the touch.
That's on the ceiling of the Sistine
Not
Chapel.
Sure. That is on. Yeah, it is.
I've
except it's in Italian.
For real.
And he sent a note that says, to Sofa Kings, a gift to you blasphemous, incestuous, politically incorrect reprobates.
What's a reprobate?
You.
Dang it.
I still don't know. Pugtalon, the asthmatic creator of the universe, grant you this and wish you happy inebriation. I only ask that you do some blatant promotion for CCPR, Central Coast Pug Rescue. Help my minions proliferate your homes and prosper for the oncoming assimilation of your planet.
Proliferate your homes.
Yes. And he, awesome gift. Thank you so much. And he does want us to help a web, plug a website, which is www.helppugs.com. And in spite of the funny nature of the letter, it is a genuine pug rescue.
Yeah, it's a real,
they,
real
they
website,
need to,
yeah.
You know, they need to find homes. They need to find adoption homes, foster homes, donations, like anything that you can do. So if you love dogs, or if you love pugs, or if you love pug dogs, or if you love pug, Pugtaculon, the asthmatic creator of the universe, then go to www.helppugs.com. And thank you for the Elijah Craig. I'm going to take a sip.
Clink.
And it's very smooth. I normally don't like bourbon, but I like it. It's
I
stout.
Took an imaginary sip. It's stout banned. And smooth. I took it's, a banned whiskey sip.
Say it's stout and smooth.
It's stout and smooth.
You don't have
it really
to whisper.
Is.
I was whispering it to you. You didn't have to.
It's
whisper.
Stout and smooth.
Yeah, I've got like the warm it. Touch jelly out of the box.
Oh, God. I'm in put the first, that I'm in the away. First what are you doing?
I'm going to smell it. I want to see what it smells it. Like. It looks like toothpaste.
Before we get to the topic, I do want to... A, give our shout out to our numero uno sponsor, El Yucateco Hot Sauce. And I want to do it by way of a troubling dream that I had.
I'm excited.
A friend of mine is retiring. He was actually our guest on the Cuban show, Rene Trujillo. And he had a retirement party. But the night before the retirement party, there was a pre-party for the retirement party because that was kind of how epic the party was going to be. And my friend Reggie made salsa, and it was, I'm not going to lie, it was the best salsa I've probably ever had in my life. Like, it was this habanero salsa. And
you're lucky
Yucateca
doesn't make salsa.
They don't make salsa. They make hot sauce. Yeah. It was a salsa, super chunky, just like crazy hot, but like sweet and amazing. And it was just like this, I kept eating it knowing my body was going to regret it, but that my brain was very happy. Last night I had a dream that I was trying to, like, I had just fixed some food. I don't remember what the food was in the dream, and I wanted to put hot sauce on it, and I wanted to take a picture of El Yucateco next to it so I could post it on social media in my dream. So I could post it on social media, but all I had in the fridge was Reggie's salsa. And I was upset because I was like looking through the fridge and I couldn't find it. I have like 8 bottles of El Yucateco in my cupboard and fridge in real life. But in the dreaming world, I had none. And like I had my camera on and my battery was running low. And I was like totally uncomfortable because I was hungry and my battery was dying. And I needed to take a picture of El Yucateco. And all I had was Reggie's salsa.
That's a nightmare.
But in the real world, that wouldn't happen because A, I don't have any of Reggie's salsa. And B, I have 8 bottles of El Yucateco hot sauce.
I'm down. I had to go buy it. Like, and I didn't even want to go to the other store to get my triple X. So I only have red and green, but I made chicken enchiladas last night and it was delicious. Check and I put Yucateco all over.
So check out Yucateco. That's our primary sponsor. But what is our topic today, boys?
Before you start, I put warming jelly on my arm. It just does nothing.
It's going to get real warm.
It hasn't done anything. It doesn't smell like anything.
It's neither warm nor jelly.
Yeah. It's staying wet though. And it has done nothing. I don't feel anything. Maybe it needs friction. Dave? No? You rub on it and see what happens?
Nope.
I'll rub on it.
I'm good.
Fine.
I don't want it. Good.
I don't want it.
So we're talking about Sumerians today.
We are talking about Sumerians today. It's a weird... Sumeria is a weird thing. I mean, it's a culture that was basically while archaeologists were trying to find out facts about the oldest civilization that we could find archaeological records for, we found in those archaeological records evidence of an older civilization that they had archaeological records of. And I was like, right. What the fuck is this? Like, we thought we kind of dated everything.
The statements of like, first to do this, first to do that, first to do that. And I think it needs to be worded as like first recorded, like first, like that we've discovered.
Right.
Because clearly like their level of technology, it wasn't the first because they're already at that level of technology. Right. It's just what's around.
And the Sumer, I mean, on a show, we often, you know, we look at history from time to time. We obviously look at conspiracy theories and the Sumerians come up. I mean, and we'll talk about a lot of things over the episode, but if
episode,
because I was thinking about the planet Nibiru, that's something that comes up often in discussions and that's a Sumerian thing. a lot of like ancient alien theories point back to Sumerian gods. They were some of the first people to create written language, like their technology was leagues ahead of anybody else at the time. So a lot of people point back to some advanced knowledge that they think was extraterrestrial in nation, et cetera. So it's definitely a society worthy of exploration. And that's what we're going to try to do today, is explore the Sumerians.
My arm's still not hot. I think you're supposed to put this on your wiener.
I think you're supposed to put it on your wiener.
Does it say for external use only?
I didn't either.
That would matter.
It just says warming jelly. Intimacy is in the touch. That's it.
What are the side effects?
It says compared to KY jelly.
Oh, same thing.
It's from KY on my arm.
Why you buy 99 cent store stuff?
I didn't buy it. It was a gift.
It was sent to us.
Yeah.
I know. I'm talking to him.
It doesn't contain spermicide. I feel better about that. I rubbed it on my arm. Well, we'll see. Maybe an update later in the show. I'll have
kill all the sperm on your arm.
Have a hot arm.
That's true.
There could be. Who knows, man?
So the
I showered after.
Ancient Sumerians. So 4500 BC? Question mark?
Yeah, 5000 BC. The crazy thing about the Sumerians is like around 4500 BC is where it got crazy. Like
right.
They were around for millions of years. Like it was
thousands.
No. Like they show that they had an evolution of like 2 million years.
I did not see that, Brad.
I'm just saying like what I looked at, like, because they had tools, instruments they would eat or dig with or whatever.
I think you're confusing the timeline. They compared the timeline of the evolution of man of like, of like what that is you're talking about, I think is, cause I saw that 2 million year thing is they showed a tool, and what they were trying to demonstrate was the evolution of man should have taken much longer. So 2 million years ago, they had like a sharp rock, like that had been chipped.
Oh, and then it took this long to get here, and then it took them this long to develop something else. Okay.
But at like 200,000 years ago.
Oh, I misunderstood that then.
All of a sudden, we took like this exponential jump straight up in technology.
Yeah.
So like one of the things I read was like 11,000 years ago, we were still hunter-gatherers. You know, it was just the end of the Ice Age. Mm-hmm. And literally like rocks and super rudimentary tools. By 7,400 BC.
All they had was paper, rocks, and scissors.
Paper, rocks, and scissors.
Everything was made.
What they called scissors.
Yeah. They called it a paper, rock, scissocracy.
They called it double twigs, though.
An early form of governance.
Yeah. It's 7,400 BC. They were starting to live in communities, and they actually started to make houses, or what you like. What's another word for houses?
Communes.
Well, communes is a community, but yeah, that's not the word I'm looking for. But anyways, yeah, huts, no.
Huts.
Damn it, no.
Houses.
Tents.
You live inside them.
Coleman tents.
No. Nope,
teepee.
Not Coleman.
Teepee.
I'm going to yell it out
apartments.
In the middle of the night.
Condominiums.
An igloo.
Lean-tos.
Yeti. Protection from the environment.
Shelters.
Shelter. Thank you. That was the one I wanted. All of those words were good, but shelter was the one I wanted.
Though I'm hoping it was condominiums.
Yeah, so they started to build shelters out of dried bricks. And then at 3800 BC, they had full-blown cities, like harnessing like water wheels and irrigation and all kinds of crazy stuff. So they were just saying, I mean, I don't know. That's how technology works. Like, look how we've come in 100 years. Like, we invent a plane and then 60 years later land on the moon. Like, apparently, allegedly.
I mean, it's one of the questions to ask. I mean, they definitely, there was a massive spike in technology and, you know, learning in general during this era and in this area. And
I think
a lot of
technology
people,
begats technology, though. I think it's because
that's what I wonder.
You made an axe, and now you can chop down way more trees than your sharp rock.
I think when you look all through history, there's spikes. I mean, there will be a point where there's suddenly this huge flood of new technology, and then there will be hundreds of years where no one comes up with shit. And it could be anything. I mean, I even like the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages, right? I mean, we were advancing pretty rapidly, and then all of a sudden everything got kind of dumber for a couple hundred years. Mm-hmm. And I've read theories that there was like a miniature ice age as a result of various cooling trends. And because everything in Europe got colder, everyone couldn't get as much food. So the primary focus became, we need to stay alive, not can I solve this equation? And everything shifts. But then all of a sudden, when you're in a land of plenty, which they would have been in the, you know, they were in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, the Fertile Crescent, right? Tons of food growing, tons of water. Like, they didn't have to worry about those basic sustenance issues. And so they were given a chance to really think of some shit, you know?
Yeah, that was their big secret to success, was the irrigation, that they took the Tigris and the Euphrates, I think it is, and they channeled the water.
They said there were hundreds of rivers connecting the two, a lot of which they built themselves.
Yeah.
Which, again, when you think 4,500 years ago of them building channels and connecting rivers, that's some shit nobody else was doing 4,500 years ago.
It just makes sense. And then once again, like you said, like when it gets cold, there's no food, they can't thrive. But because of that, they start digging a trench. They can grow more wheat, then they can sustain more children, and then more people can work. And then, you know, there's nothing to do too, once again. So they're making tools and they're advancing in technology, and that gives you the ability to spread out and thrive. So obviously it's going to advance. But the reason that that's important is because people think that we had visitors at that time and like technology was given to them.
Right.
But the reason that's important is it cuneiform or cuneiform? How do you pronounce that?
I always say cuneiform.
Cuneiform. Neither of the things I said.
But I might be wrong.
Yeah. They're writing on tablets. People have decrypted those, and there's only like 200 people in the whole world that can read these things. Mm-hmm. So, and there's not a lot of like a discussion about whether people disagree what they say, but there is a lot of discussion about the interpretation of what they say.
Right.
So the thing is, it's always crazy to me, is that we try to dismiss things because it doesn't go along with our current belief, even though like they wrote it. They must have seen it. They must have done it. It most likely is what happened. It's their recorded history. Who are we to say 5,000 years later, like, nah, that's not what happened.
Right.
You know, and they have to take it from their point of view, like from their level of technology to what they saw. And they themselves admittedly say that they did not invent their form of agriculture, their forms of irrigation. A lot of the things that they do, they said were given to them from the gods. Plural. So that's the thing that brings in the conspiracy into the Sumerian factor, is that they say themselves that like those who came from above gave them this technology.
Right.
And they give credit to them.
And you look at like ancient Egypt, and the gods were the kings. Mm-hmm. So like if that was coming from Egyptian standpoint, and they said, we actually got these technologies from the gods, you really got them from the pharaohs, and the pharaohs were really human. So you really got them from the humans.
Right.
You've just been convinced that they're gods. But the kings in most of the Sumerian eras were considered priest kings, mm-hmm. and they weren't gods. They were just priests and they were kings, and they knew that the gods were a separate thing. And that was a whole thing. Like their religion was pretty crazy. Their civilization, they thought, was the result of the gods triumphing over chaos. So all the gods had battled chaos to keep things stable, and that the gods created humans to be co-laborers with the gods,
right?
And the humans were there to help hold back chaos, and that meant the chaos of starvation, the chaos of not having enough water, the chaos of war. And this is why they thrived as a society. They started to build civilizations. They came up with forms of governance. Like, it wasn't just like defeating, you know, lions or something. It was like all things pug that lions are bringing us down. No pug lions were harmed in the filming of this episode, but that was part of it. So they thought they were servants to the gods. They were sort of slave. There were pretty much a handful of classes from what I read. There were the servant slaves, which was the most of the population because they worked for the gods. There were the priests. There were the craftsmen who built everything. And then there were warrior priests who were the soldiers, soldier priests / warrior priests. And they defended their, you know, against all the other humans who were, you know, chaotic bands living out in nowhere. But then these people were building cities. One of the first big cities on Earth was Eridu. And it was, you know, all these kings, all this stuff, like they had fortified cities and they had organization, and most other people were still at a tribal level, and you couldn't compete. You couldn't invade these guys. They were organized. They were well defended. It was just like this game changing thing, but they were very much a part of that. So if they said that their ideas and technologies came from the gods, it's unlikely that they were, like, I don't think they were referring to the pharaoh or something, but then again the other translation is, I know a lot of Christians who will say, you know, I was really sick last week, but this week I'm healthy thanks to God.
Right.
You know, and I mean, it could, or it's like, you know, I finally graduated from college. Thanks to God, you know, get it.
But so they believe
like,
that too, right. though.
So, I mean, that could be what they like. We got it from the gods and it was really Harry right. who fucking thought of the way to do this agriculture. But everybody is like, hey, Harry, where'd you come up with that? Well, I thought of it, but it was just from the gods. You know, right. it's like, it could have been that
one,
interpretation.
One of the things I saw that was interesting is like their like artistic depiction of gods. They always have them with wings, which yes. sometimes you think like, oh, that's silly, how low tech. Like if they really flew, did they have wings? Is it really like this guy flying around like that? But I saw a really cool video that had a compelling argument that we do that today. Like if you look at an Air Force officer, they have wings on their like their badge or their patch, or they have like a metal, you know, pin that is wings. Like our military, anything has to do with flying, we literally put like an eagle or a bird on it. So it's not that silly with all of our technology. A guy who flies a plane, we still just put like some bird wings on.
Yeah,
his
I
shoulder.
Guess that's true.
Yeah, that really put it into perspective for me, because I was like, you look at it and you're like, oh, that's weird. Like they didn't know, they didn't know nothing. But that's as, it's as simple as putting that wing patch on some guy who flies some $14 million jet or whatever.
Right. Right.
Is it $1 billion or $1 million? How expensive is jets?
It depends probably on the jet. Yeah. A couple of them. I know the stealth stuff are like over a billion.
Yeah.
But that made sense to me. You know, like that makes more sense that like, oh, okay, maybe they really are depicting that as someone who's flying. That's what we do. Why would that's what they
right,
did.
Right.
They just wrote it on rock instead of, you know, paper or a patch.
Right. And they had a handful of gods, a god named Enlil and Enki, Ninlil, who was the wife of Enlil. They had a god named Namu, who later got renamed Tiamat. So any of my Dungeons and Dragons nerds out there can get a Tiamat shout out for the multi-headed, multicolored evil queen of the dragons.
Whoa.
Thought I'd represent
accurate
the nerds
depiction.
For a moment. Yeah. But so their gods, and again, their gods were very human-like in spite of the Dungeons and Dragons Tiamat looking like a dragon. The gods were all very human-like, and they were depicted in art, beautiful art. I mean, it still survives, and it's, I mean, you think of like ancient carvings and stuff, and most of them are pretty dull and drab looking, and these are fucking complex, well-carved. I mean, they had some shit going on.
I was listening to a thing this morning that museums have to currently engage in like super underground, like black market deals to buy the cuneiform tablets and artifacts from this, because this is all in the, what we now call Iraq area. So right. in the American invasion, a lot of that stuff was put into disarray and like people stole it and some stuff got destroyed.
Yeah.
So there's currently like American soldiers guarding some of those places, but a lot of that stuff has been raided by like smugglers, and museums have no choice. Like the only way to preserve it is to go do some shitty black market right. thing and buy it.
And you're probably going
to
be buying it from fucking terrorist organizations who captured it and fucking
it's a weird deal.
All kinds of shit. That is a weird
deal. But what
else
are you going to do if you really like they want to preserve that? You literally have to do some Indiana Jones thing and like buy it in a warehouse.
The reason it exists, the reason we have more like once we finally discovered it, because usually civilizations that are this old, we really don't have shit. We've got some fragments of clay pots and a fucking bone by a fire and whatever. But the fact that they invented this writing and the fact that they did not invent paper is the reason that we have this stuff, because cuneiform was these massive clay slabs, and they would basically take a little wedge and a hammer and tight, you know, tap wording into it and let it bake in the sun. And then they had these preserved written tablets of whatever they were writing about. And they didn't tend to care about humanity. They cared about the struggle with the gods. So a lot of what is written is about their mythology and about their, you know, like the Epic of Gilgamesh, the oldest recorded story in humanity was found in cuneiform. And it was the story of Gilgamesh. And they recently found more tablets of cuneiform to add to the epic. And there's like a subplot.
That was one of those ones they bought, actually. Well,
there's what is it? The museum in Britain has 31,000.
Yeah. The British Museum.
Yeah. And they said that probably 90% of them haven't even been translated.
Right.
Which is crazy.
There's only 200 people. And when you look at nobody, it looks like a chicken ran over wet mud and then they baked it. It's gnarly. Like, I mean, to a trained eye, maybe they look at that and they see Mary had a little lamb or something.
One of the interesting things to me is that the version of the Bible stories, you know, the great flood, Moses, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, the ark, you have the Garden of Eden and Adam and how man was created. All of those stories were translated into Hebrew from basically the cuneiform texts, you know, that the stories were brought from.
Which is the language Akkadian?
Do we harmonize? Let's get this Boys in the Hood right now. Boys in the Hood. Boys the Men.
Boys the Men.
Based
boys
on my question
ABC,
mark.
PBD.
So it might be the language called Akkadian, and based on that strong endorsement, I can't say whether or not it was. But
yeah.
But no.
Acapella.
No, they... All of that stuff, a lot of it's in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which predates the Bible and all, you know, et cetera. It's the yeah. oldest written thing known on earth. And no, everything. And I didn't know, and I knew a lot of stuff was in there, but I did because they spell it differently. But there's a Garden of the Gods, which is called Eden, which is E-D-I-N.
Eden,
yeah. Yeah, E-D-dot-I-N. Like it's like a weird, like,
right. dot it's E dot D-I-N. Eden, yeah.
So. They had some fucking .coms going on back there. They really Eden, were. They had, it's like e.com.
Yeah. What's the name? And then they had Adam, which turned into Adam.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then they had all of the stories were very similar. And it just leads me to believe, like, I mean, it really doesn't tell you anything except that somebody took the stories and turned them into the Bible. It doesn't mean that. I don't know. What do you think? Like, is it... Does it prove the Bible is just a farce? Like
it just proves that it was. It's not the original.
It's repetitive. Yeah.
It's just been repeated, and that's funny. Like that Christians can even argue it. Like it's clearly the same thing. I can't. Yeah.
Well, here, I mean, and to me, that's part of it. It's like in this version, and granted, the word Eden means plains.
Yeah.
So it was just the garden in the plains.
Right.
Like that's what it means. Like that's the
which makes
the
sense
language for it, but In the mythology, it was the garden that the gods cultivated and that man could visit and all this stuff. So yeah. It's like to just straight up take the name and say, I guess you could argue instead that they heard about the real Garden of Eden and turned it into what their god said. I'm sure that would be the argument that would be made.
There's there's always an argument, but it's right. just crazy to me to think that you could... You can overlook these things. You
it
know,
predates
5,000 years.
These theories, these mythologies predate Judaism and their mythologies. So odds are they borrowed from those mythologies instead of vice versa.
Yeah.
And all of that is, again, because they were so into writing about the gods, because the gods were so important to them, that's how all this stuff is captured on the cuneiform.
And they had a weird relationship. It's not what you think. Like, they didn't worship the gods. Like, I watched a documentary and they stressed that, like, something to do with all the carvings having their hands folded in front of them. It had something to do with their relationship was more that we serve. More like a situation where, like, I work for this guy.
Right.
Like, the gods are the boss.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, we love you, we owe you everything. It was more like a servitude type thing where
they showed them things. Yeah.
Yeah. They just worked for the gods.
And they kind
of weird thing.
The phrase I kept seeing was servant slaves.
Right.
Which is a unique phrase. Like, they're not calling them servants and they're not calling them slaves. They're calling them servant slaves as if it's some hybrid form in the middle. Right.
And from what I understood, too, that the Anunnaki that had came to the earth weren't actually like the head extraterrestrials. I guess they were
more like the workers.
Yeah, they were like the workers that they sent in to go and mine for minerals and stuff that they needed. Mostly gold is what they were looking for, is what it said. So,
right. And that's the theory is that, I mean, and they do talk in their tablets about a race of beings called the Anunnaki that were above them and potentially came from the skies or something else.
Yeah.
But they were sort of an intermediary between the gods and the men. And then the alien, you know, ancient alien theory is that they were hybrids or that they were some sort of other race that was a buffer, you know, et cetera. But they do mention regularly in their tablets and in their writings, a group called the Anunnaki that they held above themselves, but below the gods.
And they had a visual depiction of our solar system 5,000 years ago, identifying all the planets, including Pluto, but they counted our moon as a planet too. So there's more numbers there. Cause I know a lot of, like, jujitsu, 10th planet jujitsu is based off of the whole Nibiru thing. But in all the stuff I watched, they referred to Nibiru as the 12th planet. So it just depends on how you're counting or
how
you're counting
it.
I saw a really cool thing too, where they, in their representation of the planets, they're assigned numbers basically. And Earth was assigned seven. And Mars was assigned six. And it's like confusing because we look from the sun out, where the third, Mars is the fourth. But if you count the other way coming into our solar system, which is a strange way to think about it, probably, I guess
you would think that is a very strange
thing. You would come from the large, like, central.
My thing with that, though, too, is like, how do they know? Like, This is 5,000 years BC. Yeah.
So that brings me to that. What the theory is, this is that there is a planet called Nibiru that is on a large elliptical orbit. It seems weird though, when you're thinking about, like,
well, we talk about Planet X now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, there's a bunch of stuff going on with that. A
couple of planetoids out there.
Yeah. To think about what the effects on gravity and, you know, getting closer to the sun, like just our small rotations of tilt of the earth cause seasons to change. If a planet was on a 3,600 year elliptical orbit, this doesn't feel stable. Like you're going out to the depths of space, super cold, and coming, you know, away from a huge gravitational pull, and then coming really close to the something like the sun and slingshotting around. It doesn't seem like anything could inhabit that body. And if you're have the technology that's so advanced that you can, when you come into, because this is the theory, is that when they come into that orbit and come back close to Earth, that they hop over and check on us, and then they shoot back out and do their thing. So the theory, actually, which there is like evidence in our solar system that would lead this story to seem true as far as how the planets exist, where certain like asteroid belts are and whatnot, and how the Earth is formed. Because you think, if something's spinning like our Earth and it's a mass of gases,
is
and all
it
the
or
things,
is it flat? I mean, it's
flat spinning. It's like a pizza
spinning.
Guy. Yeah, it's like how you throw the dough.
Gotcha. So we're rotating.
Yeah, like a disc. Magic holds us down. My like arm is hot icy all of a sudden. That took a long time. That's a really,
is it hot icy?
I'd have been done long ago. Yeah.
This just didn't work.
Yeah.
Didn't warm me up at all.
30 minutes?
30 minutes.
I think you might have to stroke it.
You got
to
wait.
You got to stroke it.
Yeah, you take the Viagra and then put the Icy Hot on and then wait.
Icy Hot.
30 minutes.
Icy Hot would be
warm touch.
That would be bad.
It's very subtle, too. I barely feel. And it might even be because of the friction. I
just put Tiger Balm all over my dick and it's burning.
That sounds like a bad idea. That's a gift that keeps
you
on
said
giving.
Icy Hot like that. Yeah, that's no joke.
I forgot what it was called because it's sitting right in front of me and I can read it.
Thermalube.
So the thought is, though, is that like if a planetary bottom that's made of some, you know, of gases and all these things are there, if it's spinning, it should form homogeneously. Like you'll see other planets, you know, it's an even distribution. And our like planet, we have the whole like Pangea theory where the entire mass of continents at one point was one mass.
Right.
And then it started to have continental drift and plate tectonics shifted it apart and started to spread it. The picture that we always look at of the Earth, assuming it's round, when it spins around, is you see all the continents from the one side. But if you look at the Earth from the other side, which we don't generally look at it from that stopped point, because why? It's a bunch of water. But when you look at it from the back, or what would be the back, I guess, if the back of a circle, the opposite side of where the land masses are, it's a huge gaping, you know, ocean expanse. There's a big blank spot, really. And so their theory is that when this planet came through on its elliptical orbit, that it came through and we used to be past Mars or something, and it was called Tetra. It collided and sheared a giant massive chunk off the backside of the Earth, and that when it spun and, you know, there's water and everything cooled back down, you know, that I don't know, what does the Earth look like without water? Is there some type of animation depiction of that?
Oh, it'd be
like
crazy.
It looks like like an apple core that's like chewed on or something, and then a
look
giant
like
hole.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I would think it looks like that. It has to look like a half-eaten apple or something, right?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's enough evidence for any.
And we have all the Google Earth. You can see the bottom of like the Monterey Bay. But so the reason they say this is because there also exists in that position, I guess, debris that contains the same type of geological content that the Earth would contain, I guess. And it's in that area. And that would explain why we're not more evenly distributed with our land mass. And we have the odd shape and whatnot. So that's their thinking. But I think if you bumped into the Earth and had some kind of massive collision like that, your own planet's fucked,
well, there
right?
You
like,
go.
Yeah, pretty much.
That looks like
something hit it.
Rocked. That's
looks
it.
Like something hit it. Yep.
Yeah.
Looks like we got hit by Nibiru.
Yeah. That is. Yeah. Done. All right, guys. So don't be a retard. Dad's. Yeah.
So I just looked up Earth without water, and obviously some images came up. Not real images. They're graphic, you know, 3D renders. But the ones, it's not a round ball. Like it is an oblong shaped, actually the graphic actually rotates.
Well, because we know what Mars looks like without water. You know what I mean? Like it, you know, it just has ice on top. So that's odd that we would, unless it just has to do with water always being there and erosion and whatnot.
It could
you
be,
know?
Or even just the weight of the water at various, I have no idea.
Yeah, we are not scientists.
I am not a scientist and I don't.
Yeah, we read a bunch of stuff on the internet.
I'm a scientist, just not in geography.
I can't speak to any thoughts of the, I've never, in any of my geological studies, I've never heard of any theories of a collision shearing off
part of the apparently, I guess it's in the writing, so it's all based off of those writings.
What's crazy though is
it's all in the cuneiform.
Yeah. And what's crazy though is that like now we're coming out with this Planet X, where there's this other planet where supposedly it's like Earth. I don't know.
And I'm not sure that timeline falls, like how many thousands of years ago that last visit was supposedly versus the 3,600 years to now.
My biggest question is like, how did they know that there was a Pluto? How did they know that there was a Uranus?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. If there really was some people visiting us, they gave them the knowledge. You know, how did they know that?
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
you don't have telescopes and not have paper.
You have a glass.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you don't carve things into stone tablets. Unless your purpose is to make them last, I guess.
So that's where it gets sketchy for me, like to believe.
I can believe a lot about what ancient peoples were able to pull off based largely upon what their god or what their king told them. If they didn't have plants in their region that they could use to make paper, it wouldn't conceive of them to make paper. But the fact that we have one museum has 31,000 surviving tablets.
Yeah.
Means they were writing a lot of shit.
And you can go on eBay or auctions and stuff and buy pieces of tablets like for a couple $100. Like that would be actually awesome.
So it's like, I mean,
probably making those counterfeit.
They're legit. Like there's a guy that lecture, mm-hmm. he says he has some in his personal collection that he bought online.
I saw that. Yeah.
But it's like when I look at ancient peoples, I mean, granted, there's all kinds of conspiracies about how the pyramids were built or whatever, but assuming they were built by ingenious humans, and everybody says, well, we don't know why they did or we haven't been able to duplicate it in thousands of years and all this shit. But it's like when I've got an entire population who believes in their heart of hearts that their God who lives among them wants a fucking pyramid.
They're gonna build us a fucking
pyramid. We've got, I mean, there was a guy living in ancient Egypt.
I don't know.
There was a guy living there who was just as fucking smart as Isaac Newton anybody. And he was figuring out how to build pyramids.
He had no way to discount their intelligence.
And he had fucking thousands of slaves.
Those are physical things.
I don't need to fucking care about shit. But so it's like, if some god being or some priest king said, I want to see the fucking stars, and they came up with optics that have been lost, I can see that being a valid reality of how they know these things are out there, because they could have had, I mean, they discovered Pluto in 1930. That wouldn't have been that big of a stretch in optics. I mean, that was a pretty basic telescope.
The other thing I thought about too is like a lot of people were saying, like, here's this quarry, you know, and we're jumping off to Egypt. But it relates because a lot of people say that the Anunnaki, that's the technology that made Egypt and made the pyramids. It's all in the same area. They're like, well, here's a quarry. Like, here's this stuff that's clearly carved out of the ground and cut out of the side of this. And where is the equipment? Like, what did this? There's no way they had copper chisels and rocks and did this stuff. But think about a Volkswagen sitting in a field 20 years,
right?
Like, gets rained on.
Right.
That shit is almost gone. Yeah. It's got flowers growing through it and it's falling apart, and someone shot it with a shotgun and pulled some piece off, and it doesn't take long. 5,000 years, or it may be longer, is this thing. Some of these dates are wrong. Right. Like, we base those dates off.
Yeah.
Things.
Well,
some
carbon people, dating was wrong. You know, back in the day, they found out.
Yeah.
Well,
they did.
I say back in the day, but you know.
And I think Dave said that earlier. They based dating off of, I found some bones next to a campfire in the area where these things exist.
Yeah.
And that's hard. You can't really date rocks. You have to date things around the rocks.
Right.
But what they did find, like on the Sphinx, for example, is like the rainfall. They know that, rainfall hasn't been here since this time, or we know these things align with some type of astrological, you know, alignment of Orion's belt or something, and you can backwards mathematically solve, when did that line up? Well, it lined up this many years ago, and then on another cycle, this many years ago on the second cycle, 12,000 years ago, there was rain in this area, because we can find like vegetation and animals and whatnot that have died that they can examine, and they can figure that out. So I think maybe our scale's just off. And that's what I was saying about earlier, of them saying they have the first doctors, they have the first lawyers, the first math,
the first laws,
like written laws. First that we know of, you know what I mean?
The first plow, the first economic system, the first social government system.
Well, the other thing to remember too is that
they were the first ones to have a 24-hour day cycle.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that has to kind of fall into place, right?
Yeah, but they're the ones who figured that out for the first time. And, you know, meanwhile, you have fucking raiders and hunter-gatherers all throughout Europe, and these guys have a fucking clock. And it's like, and the thing is, again, the civilization lasted for thousands of years. And it's like, I can't help but think in thousands of years with one belief system, I mean, it took us from Isaac Newton till 1930, you know, to build a fucking good enough telescope to look at. I mean, that was a couple of hundred years from when optics started to when we could build one good enough to see Pluto. They had thousands of years to have, if that was a concern of theirs, they would have had thousands of years to develop a technology to see this shit.
And no light pollution. And like they're writing stuff around generationally over, you know, periods of generations.
And it's
passing.
Like, why isn't it still here? Maybe they had two. How many fucking space shuttles do we have? It's like that might have been like the technology. Like there might have been fucking one of them. You know,
and some
like,
cataclysmic event really did happen.
Sure.
Because going back to the flood story thing, because every single culture talks about that flood story, that probably really happened. And who knows what washed away? Like I said, the Volkswagen bug can't make it
well,
in
the
field for 20 years.
Although logically, the washing away would have already happened because they were already talking about it in the past tense.
True.
When they were.
Unless another event happened because they collapsed, you know, because we still really don't know. A lot of things just look like they've been abandoned, like Mayans and whatnot. It's just like, why is all this stuff perfectly here? There's no skulls or skeletons anywhere.
Right.
It's just empty and gone.
And it gets tricky to understand because, A, a lot of what they were writing, like I said, is couched in their mythology. So it's hard to figure out what was real and what wasn't. But again, we talk about the fact that, A, there's only 200 people who can read cuneiform. But the other thing is from what I've...
It's amazing that there's 200 people.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Hardcore nerds. Yeah,
but from what I've read, there's... It's
I
a
speak
very
English
difficult,
and cuneiform.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very difficult language because it starts as pictographs, like full-on pictures of things, and it slowly evolves into little hash marks with a wedge that you carve. And over the course of those 4,000 years or whatever that the empire existed, 3,000 years, however long it was there, the language has evolved like radically. So if you get a slab, it's going. You have to first figure out what era it was written in.
Yeah, they said
before
that-
you can translate it because it's going to be, it went from 1500 symbols at its peak as a language to 600 symbols at its decline as a language. And that's a pretty radical shift. So even if you do speak it, you have to then figure out which version of it am I speaking? And that's going to make subtle differences or radical differences in your interpretation of a text. So a lot of it comes down not just to speaking it, but interpreting it properly. And that becomes very difficult to do.
There's probably like regional things too, like Subban. Like a lot of people didn't know about that, but like in certain areas of like less economic, you know, areas,
I think there were Subonics. And you read about these guys. It's like the first guy who found them. It was in 1849, a guy named Sir Austin Henry Layard, and he was an English archaeologist, and he was looking for stuff of Babylon, and that's when he found all these clay tablets, and he was like, well, what the fuck is this?
Right.
And that was when they first discovered it. So only...
And it took a long time, right? For a long
time.
It
took about it took about 20 years before they could start to decipher it, and I read about this guy named George Smith in 1876, and he was like one of the preeminent scholars of the language, and he taught it to himself at age 20. Like, I don't know. He just got around the tablets and fucking deciphered it himself.
That's
and
what
figured
I was trying to
out.
Figure out was like, yeah, just to look at symbols like that and figure out like this correlated to that and slowly start to decrypt that.
Right.
Like that's insane. But people have, it's like the, you know, what I think about all the times is the 13th Warrior, that movie. It's where he's sitting around the fire and they're talking and they're talking and they're talking. And all of a sudden the language, I thought that was a really cool scene and way to do that and how it became clear all of a sudden, but man, what a puzzle to figure out little things like that.
Right. And then if there's just constantly a flood of them still show, like you said, 31,000 of them, in just that museum, that's mind-boggling. You know, and granted, I know some of them are fragments, some of them are just a handful of words or whatever, but I mean, obviously some of them are large. And I mean, I think about the Epic of Gilgamesh. I mean, it's, I don't know, 150, 200 pages long, maybe. How many fucking stone tablets did that take?
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, let's turn the tablet and move on to the next page.
They were there for, I mean, thousands of years, though. I mean, like, if you... broke that down. I mean, actually, like saying they have the 31,000 tablets, like I wonder how many there really were.
Right.
Yeah, if that's like, what made it.
That, yeah, that's crazy. But it
I mean, we went all the way back to calling this magical, super cool thing a tablet. You know what I mean? Like now our tablet, you know, an iPad.
Right. No, it's a radically different tablet.
Yeah. Like, isn't that crazy?
They've been called tablets though.
Yeah.
Tablets are a little different. Like it just stayed called a tablet. Like,
right. Even though I can watch Netflix on my tablet, but mm-hmm. close enough, you know. Maybe we could watch it on theirs. We just don't know the alien technology to make it work.
Yeah, I think like one of the biggest things about this. I mean, you don't understand. We can't understand where any of this came from. Where, you know, what was lost? Like right. you said, they may have had some sort of optics to where they could see. You know, the solar system. It just kind of amazes me that. Everybody takes the word of something that they read or been told,
right?
You know, and just takes that and runs with it, you know, and doesn't do any research, doesn't study, doesn't look at anything else, and immediately turns away any other evidence
that contradicts
it. Yeah. Like whatever you believe, you just believe,
right?
And that's great. Like I don't fault people for that. You know, I it's hard for me to understand that. Like it's hard for me to put myself in that position and
I agree. I mean, I look for shit that makes me question my worldview. It's like, I'm searching for it. You know what I mean? But I think a lot of ancient alien folk, and here's the thing. There's a lot of weird shit about this culture. And I think a lot of people who are ancient alien folk are dismissing scientific evidence. I think a lot of people in the science camp are dismissing some of the strange elements. And
you have to accept what's written. Like that, like a lot of the scientific thing, they'll just like dismiss it though. It's like, right. Oh, that's magic. They're talking about Zeus and throwing thunderbolts, but they have to describe it with the terms that are relevant to the time,
right?
Based off the technology they've witnessed, you know what right. I mean? Like, what else are they going to call that stuff? Mm-hmm. They have to say it that way. Back to what Brad was saying about the biblical stuff of comparisons. I mean, that stuff matches the Adamu, the Eden, the serpent, the flood story, everything.
Yeah, the serpent.
It's like the only thing in the, it's funny.
Even an ark. There's even an ark.
The ark, yeah.
It's an ark or a ship or something. Yeah.
That, it's funny,
know,
too,
it because spaceship,
the Christian
argument.
Yeah,
that's what the ancient alien theory is, that it was a space ark.
Yeah, well, we have the seed bank or whatever. That's our ark, right? Like we have that thing up in the snow that has all of the seeds of the world or whatever, you know?
Yep.
And so I really think that a lot of times that maybe it was something like that. But when you think, oh, did they have something that high tech and they had just like genes? Because there's actually drawings of the double helix and DNA and stuff in some of the Sumerian drawings.
Right.
So they had knowledge of the solar system, of DNA. But then it's so hard for me to relate. It's like whatever Star Wars that was with Jar Jar Binks where they go around with like
the good one.
Angry people, catapults launching like super future orbs, you know,
right.
And like slingshots that were shooting laser balls or something. Like it's so weird to see the contrast of technology for you to have something so primitive as tablets. But really though, it stayed around. Had they had paper, it'd be gone. Or maybe if they had CDs or a flash drive, it would still be toast.
Right.
But in some ways it's advantageous to have a tablet because it's still here. That recorded record, you know what I mean? Maybe that is as advanced as you can for data preservation is actually putting it in stone. I mean, you know what I mean?
And I mean, the fact of the matter is I have to wonder how resilient their cities were, or their crops were, or their infrastructure was. And if we already have a pre-myth about a great world flood, okay, let's reimagine things.
That's over
here.
Like 40 different cultures.
Right. But let's look back and say, like, for the sake of argument, let's assume the flood happened here because they're the first ones who wrote about it.
Right. Yeah.
Where did they live? In a big valley between two huge rivers.
They should know better.
What are the odds that at some point some shit went down, both of those rivers flooded, and the entire world, aka what
their
existed
world,
between those two rivers, completely fucking flooded?
Right. Yeah.
There go all your crops. There go all your animals. Yeah. There go all your I mean, unless
people died,
except for the temples and the stone tablets, all your shit's getting washed away. The world is gone, except for the other 99.9% of the world that didn't get affected by that fucking flood.
Except for, I think that's a solid Dave theory. Like I was like, huh,
no, that makes sense.
But I think the flood story is global as far as like other people on other sides of the planet have the flood story, right? Because I think Mayans had the flood story. I think the flood story is in other cultures too.
Okay.
But I see what you're saying, how an isolated event could seem epic, like it was worldwide as far as the world's concerned.
But even, I mean, so every ancient culture has a flood story. It's like America has a flood story. Fucking Tehachapi had a flood story last winter when El Nino hit and the freeways. I mean, it's like it wouldn't be hard to conceive that every culture has a flood story.
Because, earthquake and flood.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
at some point, there was a flood in every culture.
However, the flood story is also has to do with a guy like being warned and building, told to build a boat and to put all the animals on it. And the Christian argument for the Gilgamesh story is actually funny because they just said that the instructions for the boat wouldn't be seaworthy. So it's not the same story because his was
because it was a flying ship.
I think the directions in the story of Gilgamesh is the length should correspond to the width. That could mean anything, though. Like, if you're a boat builder, it's like, oh, you better make sure it's twice as long as it is tall or something. Like, maybe that
or
is
wider.
Yeah, or wide or whatever. But that was one of the main Christian arguments against why their Noah story is the right story. But the distance between the story of Gilgamesh.
It still doesn't make sense, though, because they didn't put every animal. They didn't know what animals were what. You know what I mean? There were animals on different continents that would have never made it to an ark.
And that would have been physically fucking impossible
to put all of them on
there.
And have them together and not get eaten.
Right.
And like, then the difference in story on the Gilgamesh one, it was 6 days or 7 days. In the Hebrew story, it's 40 days. But in both of those religions and
cultures, numbers are significant.
Those are significant numbers to those cultures for whatever, like the 777. You always hear that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But the... You make me forget now when you jumped in. I got nothing. Move on.
Sorry.
Yep, it's gone.
I don't. We're done. Yep, don't be retarded. Yep,
later.
But no, so starting with the flood stories, I just have to wonder if that was, you know, I reference it, not that that flood story obviously is out of joint temporally with them because they were already writing about it. Therefore, they existed. But if those two rivers were able to flood, that could have fairly easily destroyed their civilization.
Right.
I don't know how, like I said, I don't know how resilient it would have been if the crops were gone. I'm assuming it wasn't 100%, you know, extinction event.
Yeah.
But when all your crops are gone, all your shit is gone, and everything on the other side of the rivers is still doing okay, I guess we're leaving the safety of our fucking God King, and we're going to go out with the raiders and fucking beat somebody's head in and take their wheat or something because this, I mean, it's like when you talk about this particular civilization just vanishing, I could see a flood being a cause.
Do you know what the ultimate demise of the Sumerian culture was?
No.
Their
taxes.
No, it was taxes, you said?
Texas.
Oh, Texas got him, man. No, their success in agriculture, they were so good with irrigation that ultimately over a period of 3,000 years.
Flooded them?
The evaporation of the water, the salt buildup from the evaporation of water, the erosion and evaporation causes like salt to rise and what the minerals left from the water evaporating built up on the surface. And then you finally couldn't grow anything there.
Yeah
you could not grow anything there because they
had
over, but it took 3,000 years, you know, maybe you move on. Like, dang, you're around for 3,000 years.
Well, I mean, even in their text, they had like the, you know, the Bible has the Tower of Babel.
Right.
They have the same thing where, you know, people got spread out, you know, all across the lands, you know. So, I mean, it's.
They had the story of Moses that like a child born in secret, set adrift. Yeah.
Yeah. Put in a basket. Right. Yeah. Set adrift in a river. Yeah. It's, there's so many of the same stories from the Bible that it's crazy. Like to me, like I said, I keep going back to this, but like that's one of the interesting things about this civilization and one of the most important things. But I think that it's not studied as much as it should be because people don't want it to be. You know what I mean? If think of what happened if people found out Christianity was a farce.
Well, it makes more sense in our current theories too. But it's the same kind of thing we talked about in the Men in Black episode of like not having hysteria happen.
Yeah.
Let's just keep stuff what it is.
Just let them keep thinking the world's round.
Right.
Like Christianity is Christianity. Let people be Muslims, you know, like let people be what they want to be.
Well, one thing that was kind of interesting is I think that they have a word in their language called one shar. Mm-hmm. And one shar is 3,600 years. And so it's kind of cool, like, because that whole theory of the elliptical orbit and this event happening on 3,600 years, why would you even have a measurement of 3,600 years?
Yeah, that's a weird.
Yeah, and they have a word that means 3600. So apparently 120 shards ago, this is when the Anunnaki originally arrived, was 445,000 years or 120 shards. That elliptical orbit had come around. And apparently their technology is not that far advanced as to like what scientists say or scholars say that investigate this and have this theory and support this theory is that the technology of the Anunnaki is only about 100 years beyond what we currently can do. Which is kind of cool. Like we're almost there.
Right
we're gonna
now?
Go. Yeah, we're gonna stargate pretty soon.
How would you know that? I'm just saying, though. How would you know that?
Well, based off the claims of what they've done, and based off Moore's law and the exponential growth of technology,
yet,
where we propose we would be in approximately 100 years, you can kind of try to guess that.
Now, what like when you say the technology of the Anunnaki, what are you?
I mean, I don't know. They jumped off of a planet that's coming.
I mean, there's some discrepancies. Like I wonder how. They saw the solar system and I wonder how they got these stories. Yet, I also wonder why they had funny spoons and didn't have real tools. If the Anunnaki was so advanced and had a spaceship that flew from one planet to another planet.
Check this out, dude. We live on Earth, right?
Yeah.
We have iPads. Well, there are dudes in grass skirts in the jungle that are still like killing, you know, rats. And
yeah, but if there was a god there telling them like, hey, here's your new iPhone.
We do. Like, there's that whole story where we fly in and we drop like supplies and to the jungle because we needed it strategically for Vietnam or something. So we would fly in and land on an island because it was a good strategic location. And so then we would give them stuff to keep them happy. Like, hey, we're here. They considered the soldiers and the military gods. And when they left and didn't come back, they built giant planes made out of reeds and waited and set around like land
waiting
and
for the
give
gods,
me
yeah.
Spam and Baby Ruth. Like they wanted come back with Tang. That shit was awesome. I've been eating leaves for days. Like, so when you, that can still coexist. And that was I just killed my own argument of how do you not have paper, but you have, you know, the other things, but that can exist. It exists here. There's people living in the dirt. You know what I mean? And then there's people that have a Tesla. You know, and we're flying into outer space apparently to a underwater fake space station that doesn't really exist.
And it's also, I mean, I don't buy the ancient aliens theory, but even if aliens did pop down and it's like, I mean, they've got tablets and they show up and they're like, fuck, we should have brought some paper for these guys.
Yeah. These guys can't use the tablets.
Like, did anybody, did you bring any paper? It's like, why the fuck would I bring
paper? Process. There was like thousands of palm trees. Can you make paper out of palm trees somehow?
But
that's how papyrus is.
Well, it was one of those things like the Garden of Eden was kind of, or I don't even know if it was the Garden of Eden. They had a place that was basically considered like an experimental, like, basically to do experiments with the humans. Like, you know, they created this thing, like they were a science project pretty much. Yeah. And so like, I mean, maybe that was it. Maybe they give them clay, you know, hey, here's how you make clay. Let's see what they do with
it.
You know,
like,
let's see what happens.
They can almost
predating that, apparently when they showed up, we were just like crazy monkey men. We were some form of primate when they showed up, but because of our resources, they wanted to come here. And this is the part that's like weird to me. Like, and maybe we can do it after the whole cloud seeding talk. It doesn't seem like you could suspend gold in your atmosphere, but apparently the planet Nibiru had some problem, maybe because it banged into another blue marble and knocked half the side off. But they had a problem with their atmosphere is why they came here. They came here looking for resources and because
they needed gold specifically
I guess, and that the theory they wanted to suspend gold in their atmosphere to protect their planet's atmosphere from going away. That sounds like crazy talk. I mean, the whole damn thing sounds like crazy talk.
Yeah, the whole damn thing sounds like crazy talk.
But it's a very specific like claim, and I don't know that it's – I don't know if Zachariah Sitchin is the only one that says that. I don't even know who he said.
They gave him real info, and he sounds crazy.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Zachariah Sitchin yet. Zachariah Sitchin is one of the main guys who talks about the ancient aliens theory. He's written multiple books on the ancient aliens theory, and he bases all of it on his interpretations of the clay tablets that he's had access to. But I was watching a lot of videos of like legit academic professors who study cuneiform and the Sumerians and so forth, and they claim that like his readings are completely fraudulent. He doesn't know shit about how to read it. His interpretations, none of them are valid.
I'm gonna need you to shut your mouth
now,
Dave.
One of the things that they say is like he says that the term Anunnaki means those who from the heavens came.
Right.
But then I watched a guy on a video break it down, and the Anunnaki actually means princely seed. and they show two different words.
Sounds like
and
semen from the king.
One of them was based on one of the names of the gods, who was the god of the heavens, Enki. And then another one was like children of Enki, basically, is what Anunnaki stands for. And he was like, it doesn't, like, there's no, like, every scholar says there's no interpretation where you could read Anunnaki in cuneiform or in Akkadian or whatever it was and think it means those who from heavens came. This is just what he,
I wonder if it's like 200 to one, like if he's, so really that might not
even
guy.
That might not even be what it is then. So right, the Anunnaki's like not even a thing.
There's also some, but again, I mean,
if he
like
is the
ships.
If he is the god of the heavens, then I could see how a bad interpretation would be those who come from the heavens.
Yeah,
I mean, if he is the god, well, you know what I mean?
Other, like, the
I
other could thing
see
too.
That, but that interpretation of what Anunnaki means is one of the main hitching points that the ancient aliens people hold. And I was reading a lot of people say that's not at all what that thing means.
And on the early, you know, more hieroglyphic style, you know, writings the that they had. Yeah. They had their gods that were sitting there and they always say, well, the god, you know, it's a god because he's bigger. He's twice the size of regular man. You know, he's always sitting on a throne or something, but that's the way they could have just portrayed whoever was in charge that way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's also some talk about that throne seated thing that they show that perspectively, if that person on the throne stood up, that they would be like 10 feet tall in comparison to everyone and that they were giants. But that also might be a problem with like artistic perspective and how you're trying to draw something.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying though. Like they're showing that they're the bigger in charge person.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's larger
representation of them. Like they're not small like you.
10
you
foot
know?
Tall and bulletproof.
Yeah, man. But the only way they show that is in a picture. Is drawing them bigger,
right?
That they are bigger than you, that they are in charge, you know. Yeah.
And one thing, and again, it always amazes and amuses me, like what I find when I start researching this stuff. Like, one of the sticking points that a lot of the ancient aliens people have is that all the pictures of the gods, like the fact that they developed the 24-hour day and they were really aware of time and obsessed with the movement of the celestial bodies, therefore time, therefore all this stuff. And they said that all of the carvings of the gods, they're wearing wristwatches.
Eye watches.
Like, what? And then I was like, that's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever seen. And then I started looking at some of the images and I was like, oh, yeah, pretty much.
You see that thing that floats over Facebook where they found like a tiny little like Timex watch in some Chinese pyramid? Have you seen that?
There's all kinds of weird shit.
Always on Facebook. Yeah. I haven't looked at it.
And it's one of those things like you never know what to believe, like, because you're just, it's all hearsay. Right. You know what I mean? There's 200 people that supposedly can read this.
Well,
right. But no, I will admit that I saw that thing and I was like, let's throw this into the bullshit category, and started looking at images and I was like, nope, they're pretty much wristwatches. Like, I was like, okay,
good call. Or something.
Yeah, or something that looks a lot like a wristwatch.
Based off the fact if they really showed up 500,000 years ago or whatever, the theory amongst the crazies is that they genetically modified us to be a slave race. That they took whatever primate existed. And the thing is, it's very like valid and supportive of the fact that we don't know. We still have the missing link. There's still that evolutionary thing. Like, we can go back and look at dolphins and squirrels and platypuses and every crazy thing, and we can trace that stuff back to being like a single-celled organism. Yeah. You can see like where a seal used to be a dog, or a dog used to be a seal, or whales have hip bones and a pelvis and whatnot because they used to be on land and they moved to water. But humans are the exception to that. They still have yet to find the missing link archaeologically. And so that's one of the arguments, is that, for one, humans are technically not primates, I guess, scientifically speaking, because of a bunch of different factors that define a primate. Something is weird. Like, when they mapped the human genome, they said there is like a fusion of some information in one place that does not happen naturally. It happens in a lab. And I don't know how valid, you know, my sources are for seeing that on the videos and stuff I watch, but it seemed scientific and legit, you know what I mean? But
well, it's something that you or I or Dave can't prove. You know what I mean? Like, all you can say is, I believe that or not.
I saw. Right. Yeah. But I know that we don't have the missing link and we can't explain. And the other thing that they argue is we are genetically flawed. We have lots of genetic errors as a human species. And that doesn't generally happen in nature. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have like cheetahs with bad hips. That happens in breeding with dogs, or with things that you like the lamb that they clone. It doesn't make it. Because it fails when we mess with things. When we mess with things in the lab, or we try to interbreed species to create something else, that's when you get hip dysplasia in a Rottweiler, or, you know, like Dave, you know, you got dogs with problems. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's when that occurs. With it doesn't happen in a normal survival of the fittest, you know, natural breeding selection type thing. You don't get, every once in a while you get an albino dolphin or something weird. It's a super anomalous occurrence. But humans have tons of problems. But maybe it's because we're cognitively making decisions like things where royalty only bred with brothers and sisters.
And if you go off the Bible story where Noah and his family were on an ark, like that's where you
came from. Six people were banging it out, and then we're all retarded.
That's a lot of kids.
That's why we're retarded.
But so. I think also, though, I mean, we look specifically at dogs and the fact that dogs are you know, force bred into these particular breeds, and traits are encouraged and discouraged and so on until you have these, you know, specific breeds, and with those traits breeds come problems, you know, et cetera. But I mean, I also wonder if it's not valid to compare us to the other animals in the animal kingdom, because if you're a fucking Himalayan snow tiger, you live in the Himalayas and you're a fucking snow tiger.
Exactly.
You're never going to mate with a fucking Bengal tiger from India, because you're never going to get there.
Yeah, right.
But once trade routes happened thousands of years ago, all of a sudden an Egyptian is banging it out with a Greek, and that wouldn't have happened in any other animal species.
Cataracts.
Because these in, you know, the bred population of any area was able to travel and intermingle and do things. Whereas, you know, a sparrow in North America can't mate with a sparrow from Canada, because it's just never, or from China, because it's never going to get over.
They won't
there.
Migrate there like we would. Yeah, and I think that's the argument. I think because we cognitively make decisions to do things.
So it's
like
all
that.
Bullshit, is what we're saying.
Basically.
So, and I think, speaking of bullshit, though, I do want to throw out a shout to David Icke.
Oh yeah.
And some people, we had a debate before the show whether it's David Icke or David Icke.
I'm going to stick to my guns on Icke. I think it's Icke.
His last name is I-C-K-E.
I like Icke.
Huge conspiracy theorist. I believe in my heart of hearts that his name is probably David Icke, but I'm going to call him David Icke because he's kind of a jackass and it's a little bit demeaning.
Monetize.
But David Icke is one of the premier people who believe in the lizard people. And he's got tons of videos and lectures on like world leaders who blink their eyes. And he thinks that when they blink their eyes, you can see their reptilian eyes and their reptoids and all that kind of stuff.
But have you guys seen the video of the Secret Service guy by Obama? I don't know if that thing's been messed with, but that guy is scary. Have you seen that? Mm-mm. There's like some dude that looks like the Men in Black.
Crossbred.
He has like no hair. Like he looks like the Men in Black depiction thing. Like just look up. It's like Obama lizard people Secret Service or something super crazy. And it probably got messed with in Adobe Premiere or something. You know, someone iMovie that shit.
It's always something.
But it's creepy as shit.
I'll have to look for
it. It's a lizard people David Icke. That's why it's bringing up. Yeah.
So, no, David Icke is the king of the lizard people, and he believes that there's a race of reptoids that were Jewish and came from outer space and secretly rule the government.
So they were Jewish before they got here?
They were Jewish before they got here. And their hybrids are the ones who rule government. And he shows lots of pictures of the Bushes and the Clintons and every president out there blinking their eyes. And at a particular moment of blinking, when they open their eyes back up, he claims you can see reptilian eyeballs and that they're all reptoids. But he thinks that the reptoid lineage started in Sumeria. And he thinks that the idea of the Anunnaki and a group called the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. He thinks that there was an interbreeding between the beings that came to Earth and the humans, and that this is where it started, and that the technological surge that happened in Sumeria, which is still a mystery. I mean, I can't speak to the huge surge in tech and ideas and so forth that they had, but he thinks it all comes from the lizard people commingling, and that all of their gods were lizard people from outer space, and that they were the first reptoid hybrids.
You know how you find out? You just put a full spectrum heat lamp in the corner.
And if they just
all go to
just George Bush, he's like, I just want to sit in this chair. I love this chair.
Just get a big warm rock in the corner. And if Obama takes off his shirt and takes a nap on it, then
you just throw crickets out and they can't help it. They get on all fours and start chasing shit.
And then they take a nap on the warm rock.
Look, I found a mealworm. It's all wiggly. Oh, mealworms.
Yeah, what everybody didn't know is the donation dinners, what they were eating.
That's right.
Insects. Right. So insect steak.
I mean, the thing that I'm super curious about, and obviously until we build a time machine or another time machine, maybe we've already got one.
We do.
We won't know for sure. And it's just I mean, every expert out there, every scholar out there, no UFO theory involved, say that it was a remarkable society. The leaps that it had in mathematics, in organization, in logistics, in farming tools, yeah. in weaponry, in trade routes, in language, like in art, like just it was just everything across the board. They were just ahead of anybody else in the game. And it took thousands of years for any other society to rise and be the equivalent. So, which seems odd because it just seems like it at least would have spread. Like it seems like some cat with a boat would have like left with this knowledge and landed somewhere else, and that nearby areas would have built up more or learned from it. Or
maybe
whatever,
the Anunnaki just took them out.
Maybe so.
Maybe they got, weren't happy.
Maybe they got sniped. Yep. But I mean, really, nothing else materializes as a formal group until Egypt. You know,
and they all went down with salty crops.
And they all went down with salty. Crotch.
It's because Brondos has electrolytes, and Brondos is what plants crave.
That's right.
A bunch of people are laughing. Certain people are laughing at that one. Brad doesn't know what that one is.
I think that might be what happened to him. I think President Camacho took over.
I don't know how people don't.
I'm with Camacho.
That movie.
I'm with Camacho.
You know what movie we're talking about? Right?
Never seen it, but I know Camacho.
Idiocracy.
I think Camacho took over.
Isn't Camacho Terry Crews?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He plays the president in a future society that just gets completely dumbed down. You got to watch that.
I've seen Idiocracy.
Oh, you have seen it?
I didn't know that was Terry Crews.
Oh, yeah.
I won't watch that again. That movie is horrible.
You're that guy?
I'm that guy.
Hilarious, dude. I love that
movie. That's your humor all the way.
you don't like Napoleon Dynamite, funny. Nacho Libre?
I do. Oh. I'm not super crazy about it. But
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
God, shut up.
That was your Napoleon?
No.
So that's my
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu white belt, okay?
Oh, I waited for it all morning. Nice. It happened.
At the end of the day, I don't think aliens had anything to do with it. I don't think people hopped off little mini spaceships on the planet Nibiru 3,600 years ago and sheared off half the planet Earth. I don't think any of those things happened, but I think it's
a
very fascinating society that did shit that's hard to explain.
I think you should like at least be open-minded about what people write down when it happened. You know what I mean? And not try to discount it to make it conform to your current religious, political, whatever societal vision of what something should or should not be, because that shit got written. They were here before us and they were just as intelligent as us. Some of that shit sounds crazy, but man, the things we do are crazy. That like Wi-Fi is crazy. A cell phone is crazy. The knowledge of every historical event that has ever happened and any fact that you need is on a little box in your pocket right now on a magic book, and that shit's fucking crazier than a planet coming into our orbit. Like,
yeah, if you wanted to put some argument together that a large ship came by and that aliens came out and fucked with the Sumerians and did all that stuff, and that the Sumerians looked up in the sky and said, look, it's a planet,
right?
Then I could maybe get on board with it. But the fact that there's the planet Nibiru that has a 3,600 year orbit.
That's where Scientologists came from, didn't they?
I'm just like, ugh, I can't get behind that.
I don't think
Scientologists.
I don't think they came from Nibiru.
There's something different. I can't remember
the thing
anymore.
Old cars and looks like the 50s there.
No, that wasn't Nibiru. I can't remember the name of the planet, though.
Can't think
it was
of it either,
fucking legit as hell, though.
I can't even think of those demon things.
It's basically a big Cuba, is what I figured out.
Yeah, it is.
Just the 50s everywhere.
Yep.
Castro.
Diners and milkshakes and hamburgers, baby.
Tupac, Castro, and Hitler are all just hanging out.
If you are listening to this and you have not listened to our Scientology episode, please do yourself a favor and go listen to it, because it's pretty wacky.
Weird.
So is that all the Anunnaki?
That's all I got on the Anunnaki.
And I'm not going to mention that again.
No.
But I got a couple shout outs. Last episode, we did something where we asked a couple fans like to tell us something personal about them so that we could get to, you know, a better shout out than just saying, hey, this guy said some stuff on, you know, on the internet. Thank you. So we thought it'd be cool to say like, hey, tell me something about yourself and we'll talk about you on the show. So you're going to be, you know.
Just like you're on a dating game.
Exactly. Yeah. If you like long walks on the beach, tell us about it.
And so, warm touch.
Yeah.
Heating like, gel.
That other stuff. I'm gonna go home and put it all over my wiener because I don't think anything's going to happen. Maybe it's only wiener active.
Maybe.
Foreskin
sets it off.
I'll start slow. We mentioned David James in the beginning of the episode because he made these glasses for us. David James 1978 on Instagram. He made these glasses for us. And feel free to chime in. I know you guys read some of these comments that they gave back to us. So if you have something to add that I miss. But apparently some facts about David James. He's fluent in Spanish and French. And he's actually a cranial artist and tiny sandwich maker. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but he makes cool glasses. You know what I mean? So
right.
whatever you're into, you know, linguist, tiny sandwich maker, that shit sounds fancy. Thank you for the glasses.
Is That's it like all the Japanese thing where they make like really tiny sushi with like one grain of rice? Is it that kind of thing?
There wasn't Maybe. Any pictures. He had some pictures of some cool drawings and stuff he did, but I didn't see anything that would lead me to believe the tiny sandwiches. He did put a message in regards to French written in Spanish on the box that he shipped us, though.
Okay.
It was confusing, but I got the Christmas story joke out of it, and it was my kind of humor. I like how you still have your external hard drive built out of my adapter that I'm always looking for at the shop.
Yep, I have it.
Brad's external drive is our old Mac drive.
It's on my Instagram, yeah. That's Sofa King Brad.
Our old
it's
Mac drive with a USB adapter, a USB to SATA adapter.
In an SSD
In the original box. Cardboard box that yep. he has made into an enclosure. That is yes. awesome. The other person is Kelp Noodles. I think they're a new fan, but they started talking a lot. Mm-hmm. And I sent them some stickers last week, actually. So they should be there soon. But
shout out to Kelp Noodles.
Are they vegan? Yeah, that makes sense with that name. So there's one fact from Dave.
Yep, and I don't care.
The other thing is their hobby there, and I've never heard of this. They're an avid wine swallower, whatever the hell that is, and cheese fiddler. So two things I'm not familiar with, but I looked into it a little bit. She holds the world record for cheese fiddles. When I looked it up, apparently there's an entire online community of people who make replicas of mid-century fiddles out of cheese. That's a unique niche and fucking weird if you ask me, but
I have never fucking heard of that.
Yeah, if you look up anything, I mean, fucking black dogs that are scared on a Wednesday in a thunderstorm, there's a goddamn group about it. And I don't know, these people find each other with the power of the internet.
Well, happy cheese fiddling.
Yeah, so
I won't be part of your group,
cheese fiddlers. And then I got one more. It's
avocado
Casey,
noodles or whatever your
Casey
name is.
Auk, and everyone I've contacted has weird ass fucking hobbies. I don't know what the fuck. Like, there's not someone that's like, I'm a truck driver and I fucking and I do jujitsu. That doesn't happen. It's fucking weird shit. And I'm not being selective. These are the people that I talk to. So yep,
this is it.
The last person is Casey Auk, and she is what they call a Stephen Kingophile. Apparently they get together on weekends and they dress like Stephen King, whatever the fuck that is. What does he wear? A button up shirt and glasses or something? What does Stephen King look like?
I don't know.
Yeah. But they go to Goodwills. And they search for Stephen King novels, and the last one to not find the novel has to buy Chipotle for the group. I guess there's four of them that do this. Not a huge group.
That's
strange community. Yeah. And then they compare the books once they get to Starbucks or Chipotle, you know, whatever. But have fun doing that, Casey Auk. That's a weird
fucking
thing.
And thanks for listening.
But yeah,
and tell the other three people to listen to the show.
Whoever those people are.
Yep. I'll be damned.
So you guys look into all of that, because those are strange hobbies that I didn't know existed. I find it pretty interesting. If you believe me.
Yep.
So the last but not least, we need to thank our sponsors.
Yes,
we need
indeed.
To thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce, who makes the best hot sauce in the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually maybe get to meet those people. We might go to a hot sauce convention in Long Beach, which I think is like taking your girlfriend to a strip club. If you got a hot sauce sponsor, you can't go hang out with other hot sauce people, right? What if I find some
just
sweet
no, you just
hot
walk
sauce.
Around and talk about how bad
you just
everybody
look.
Else is.
You yeah. just work up your appetite as long as you eat at home, man. It's okay. You can look at Red Lobster. But anyways, thank you, El Yucateco. You can find them at most major grocery chains. If you can't find them.
That was hard to say.
I could not
most,
say that.
You can find them at most major chains.
Most major.
That was Sumerian. It's Subonix. That was Subonix. It's a form of Sumerian from a lower class of society. The digital creations for making our swag, our mugs, our mouse pads, bottle openers, stickers at this point. Salt 7 Sensory Deprivation Float Center. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram. They have a website. It's SALT7EVEN in all cases. You can find that. If you haven't done it, you should try it. And
if you don't know about flotation, go back and look at our flotation tank episode, because we have the owner of Salt 7 come on and he talks about it and it's awesome. And I need to go do it because I'm desperate.
And then Dark Side Graphics with an X. That is Punky Brewster at Dark Side Graphics. He makes all of our shirts, koozies, soon to find booty shorts. I'm gonna hit him up about hats or something, maybe see what else he can do. And look out for those soon. We should have an online place to buy those pretty soon, because Alan Urquhart, from Run and Gun Media is making us an extravagant website with a web store. So
while you were doing the shout outs, I was reading the back of the Warm Touch warming gel.
Do not put on your forearm.
No, you did that part right. It says may cause skin irritation, test before use. So you've done that. Discontinue use immediately if irritation or discomfort occurs. Avoid contact with eyes and ears.
Okay.
So in general, that's a good idea. The part that bothers me is the final sentence, that's the final two sentences that say for cosmetic use only.
I think they just mean don't consume it, probably. That's probably their way of saying external, right?
I would just put external, not cosmetic. Because cosmetic makes it sound like it's there to make you look good. Like get your face all lubed up and shiny and sexy. But for cosmetic use only and extremely slippery, semicolon, clean up spills immediately.
Fell on warm touch.
I think when you're having sex with warm touch, the advice clean up spills immediately is a very good
Bad things happen.
That's why you keep the towel. It's right there.
Bad things happen. All right. Is that it?
That's all I got.
Well,
www.helppugs.com. Yep. Go help a pug.
Yep. Help a lion pug survive.
Yep.
And with that being said, don't be a retard. Hey.
I'm on a new level. Brought me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new bezel. All my niggas put it work. I'm on a new level. 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 Brought me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new bezel. All my niggas put it work. Used to be sleeping on itchy beds. Bad bugs in the motel. Now your bitch give me head. 20 bitches in the hotel. On a Roman noodle diet. Tour life wasn't so well. All my niggas starting riots. Marsh pitting on your torn nails. Uncle T doing so well. First class from a hotel. T-Ferg did 15. In the feds getting no mail. My daddy died and my cousin too. Then let him out of no cell. Provide jobs for my whole block. I cannot slow down. Nigga, I won't stop now. Motherfucker, this is my town. Take the block, make it hot now. 143rd with the drop down. Icy chain with the watch now. Bone piece full of rocks now. Niggas squint when they watch now. Leveling up to the top now. I'm on a new level. I'm on it, I'm on it. I'm on a new level. I'm on it, I'm on it. I'm on a new level. I'm on it, I'm on it. I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level. Brought me a new shovel. I'm on a new level. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new vest, I'm on a new level. All my niggas put it work, my niggas put it. I'm on a new level, I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level, I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level, I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level, I'm on a new level. Put me a new shovel, put me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt, niggas in the chain with the new vest, put me some new vest. All my niggas put it work. Buy me some better belts, man. I went and see my jeweler, woo, and I read her. Went and bought some new jewels. Hit the card, then a woo, woo, read her. Who knew we'll blow like nitro? Many bitches need us. Ooh, I just taste the Miley, yummy. New, I just read her. Dipping Devin in some new designer. I just dipped and dab with the semi touch. You on a red carpet, surrounded by pop stars, trying to act tough. I got an activist, homie, nigga, and I hold up. They said that we couldn't smoke in this building. We fucked around and still rolled up. I'm on a new level. 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 Brought me a new Chevy. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new vest. All my niggas put it work. I'm on a new level. 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 Brought me a new Chevy. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new vest. All my niggas put it work. Daddy looking down, I know he see me blowing up. My grandma will be so proud. Up in heaven, yeah, beginning. Know my brother see me, I'ma make my bro proud. Tell his mama I'ma take her out of work. Know that I'ma hold my bros down. ASAP till a nigga dive. You didn't know what you know now. I gotta get in my zone now. I gotta get in my zone now. Only a couple of more down. Mama gon' get a new home now. Teach Marty Baller how to be a boss. So none of us ever go broke now. I'ma bring you to the water, swim, nigga. I cannot bring you the boat now. I'm on a new level. I'm on it, I'm on a new level. Put these niggas in the dirt. Chain with the new bezel. I'm on a new level. All my niggas put it. All my niggas put it. I'm on a new level.